One, two. Good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night, family night. Look at somebody and say, welcome to the presence. Welcome those of you in-house, those of you watching live stream. Come on, stand on your feet.
Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me? Mindful of me.
Thank you.
got another praise in this place. He's worthy. We give you praise in this place, oh God. Praise to our God. Every word, every worship, we want to call. Every praise is to our God. Come on, say it. Singing it all day. Nothing like presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you.
presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. Nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you. Nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to be with you.
Nothing like, come on, say.
Nothing like.
All I want is to worship.
All I want is to worship you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to worship you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. All I want is to worship you. There's nothing like your presence, Lord.
You are God. Come on, say.
Thank you.
just worship the Lord.
God, we worship you, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord, because you're worthy. Worthy of all the praise.
God, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You care for us. You know everything about us. You love us unconditionally. You know everything about us. Thank you, Lord, that you said you never leave us nor forsake us. That we could cast all of our cares upon you. Thank you, Lord, for being the great shepherd, making us to lie down in green pastures, for leading us beside the still waters, for restoring our souls. Restore us tonight. Somebody needs to be restored tonight. Restore, God. Somebody needs to be refreshed tonight. Refresh them, Lord. Someone needs hope tonight. Give them hope, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for our children tonight. Thank you for our energy youth tonight. Bless them, God. Bless them, Lord. Strengthen them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all of our adults. Hallelujah. Thank you for the presence in Owosso. Thank you that you're filling this house with your presence, with your people, with your provision. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for victory in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, we love you tonight. Be with us for the furtherance of this service. Bless those who are in desperate need of you. Thank you for healing in our bodies. Thank you for healing. By your stripes, we're already healed. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you now. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Come on, let's say our affirmation prayer together. Father, I thank you that as I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart, because you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I will not lose heart or give up, because I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I will reap in my due season if I do not get weary in doing good. Father, I decree according to 3 John 2, that in every area of my life, I am prospering and I am in good health, even as my soul prospers. I am free from pain, sickness, and disease, and I walk in divine health. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Come on, put those hands together and give God praise.
Hallelujah.
Well, I want you to take a moment and greet a few people, and we're going to dismiss our children and our youth. All the children and youth going back to the fellowship hall. One, two. Well, how's everybody doing tonight? Boy, I tell you what. People must have had an idea what I was going to talk about tonight. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? You're watching there, Facebook Live, live stream. We're waving. We're waving at you. All right, here we go. Tonight we're going to talk from Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18. I'm going to read it in one, two, three, four different versions. And then we're going to just see what the Word of God says. Ephesians 5:18. Here's the King James. And be not drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, but be filled with the what? Spirit. Here's the New King James Version, not totally different, but it does use a different word. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Dissipation, that's an interesting word, but be filled with the Spirit. Dissipation means to abandon. It is the squandering of money, energy, or resources. It is a descent into drunkenness. That's what dissipation means. And the Living Bible says, don't drink too much wine, for many evils lie along that path. Be filled instead with the Holy Spirit and controlled by Him. That's a good version right there. New International Version says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. That's a different word, debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Debauchery means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures. Okay, so the first thing that I want to say, and where is, I have it in my notes. Here it is, right here. Tonight is not about judging or condemning anybody. It really isn't. So everybody just relax. Everybody relax. Our goal tonight is simply to rightly divide the word, because when I grew up in the Holiness Church, all right, and there are various levels of Holiness Church. We were a part of the Church of God in Christ denomination, and we took this verse, to the full extent. Be not drunk with wine means don't touch it. That's kind of, right? But that's actually not a proper balance of what the Word of God says. So I don't want anyone at all, what did I say? At all. To feel judged or condemned. Now, if you feel convicted, that's different. That's the Holy Spirit saying to you, hey, you need to make an adjustment. But even the Holy Spirit is not convicting, is not condemning you, okay? All right. So that said, here's the second thing I want to say. Now you got to listen real closely. Drinking wine or any type of alcohol is not a sin. Okay, now I'm going to bring balance, but we do have to start there. There is absolutely no verse in the Bible that says that drinking alcohol is a sin. Okay, now, the same Apostle Paul who told the Ephesian church in Ephesians 5:8, to be not drunk with wine, also wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:23 and said, no longer drink water exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. Now, if you're sick all the time, something wrong. this reminds me. I got stories, y'all. But years ago, I was a student at Oral Roberts University, and I was a part of the group Souls of Fire, and we went and traveled during the summer to different churches and ministered. And this one church we went to, I'm not going to say what the denomination was, but we went in and they did communion, and in this church they used real wine. Okay, I get that. But then the pastor said, okay, now if you would like to take communion for somebody else. I will never forget that as long as I live, because we were like, I'll take this one for Uncle Joe. But a drinking wine or any type of alcohol is not a sin. And that verse says, 1 Timothy 5:3, but use a little wine. Emphasis on little. And therein lies the problem. Therein lies the problem. The last thing Jesus did before he died on the cross was take a drink of sour wine. It says vinegar, but it was sour wine. It was actually there for the Roman soldiers to, but it was a sour wine. So all that said, there are potential dangers and pitfalls to consuming alcohol. Can I get an amen? There is a reason why they call it spirits. All right? So Christians, and we'll open it up here in a bit, but let me just get a little bit out. Let me say a few things first. Christians are camped at various places along the spectrum, along the drinking spectrum, alcohol spectrum. I've seen, like I said, the way where I grew up, you didn't touch it. You didn't touch it. But I, over the years, I've experienced a few things, and it's interesting what you remember. I will never forget. I was ministering at a church, in San Diego, the nice church, and the pastor invited me over to his house, and I stayed in his house, in a nice house, and he said, make yourself at home. you need get anything, just want some water, whatever, something to drink, just refrigerator. And man, I went to the refrigerator. I'll never forget. I thought it was like a bar. I mean, it was stocked. Beer, wine, and I was like, wow, that wasn't my culture, that wasn't what I was used to, okay, but that's where he was on the spectrum, if you will, okay, on the, right, this is a couple of years ago, but it was local. I met a pastor for lunch, and we were just sort of getting to know each other, and we had, at lunch, he ordered a beer, and he felt it was okay. I mean, and he said, I hope this is okay, And I was like, oh, in my head, I was going to sinner. No, I wasn't. No. But that's where he was on the spectrum. This was a couple of weeks ago. Sunola and I, we were at Reb Robin down in Tulsa, and there were some guys there, and they were in clergy collars. And they were having lunch, burgers, whatever, and tall beers. So, people are in different places. From how they grew up. I grew up more strict, but others, you only know what you know, first of all. And unless you really get into the Word of God and see, and I'm gonna give you as much Bible as I can, so that you can decide. The Holy Spirit then can speak to you, because it is the truth that'll set you free if you're bound. I was just recently, this was last week, I was playing golf with a guy, and he was just, I had never met him before, and he was just chugging beers like it was going out of style, I never told him what I did, but I did tell him I went to church. He said, oh, yeah, I go to so-and-so church. I thought, wow, interesting. Here's my, probably not my last story, but years ago I was being considered for a position at a church, a position in Texas. And I actually did take the position, but one of the processes in interviewing was that they had what their bishop of their church to call me, and the pastor of the church, it was actually his father-in-law, and the pastor of the church said, now my father-in-law is going to call you, and you know, just answer whatever, you know. And so he only asked me one question. He said, now Brother Alvin, he said, I just need to ask you this one question. Are you a casual drinker? He didn't want to know if I was a womanizer. He didn't want to know if, he just wanted to know if I was a casual drinker. And I said, sir, no, I'm not. And after I took the job, I thought maybe I should have been, because it was, no, it was just. All right, so the first thing, when you read a scripture like this, you have to try to understand the context. So let's do that first. What was Paul trying to get across to the Ephesians? Well, let's look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter. You're probably already there. I want to read verses 3 through 5. Ephesians 5, I'm going to begin at verse 3. Now, this is Paul sending a letter to the church at Ephesus. The church. Okay? He says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, let me just stop right there. Some people take that verse right there too far. Like, you know, like you can't say anything that's funny. That's not what that's talking about. That's talking about lewd and offensive, inappropriate jokes like that. You know, the Bible says, what is it? Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart or a joyful heart, even laughter, maketh good like medicine. Well, how are you going to laugh? Nobody says nothing funny. So, I mean, so sometimes we take scriptures and we think, you know, if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be serious. You can never laugh. No, it's not true. All right? So what that verse is talking about is lewd and inappropriate and things of that nature. All right, verse 5. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. All right, now go to verse 15. Therefore, be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So that's sort of the context. And then he says, and be not drunk with wine, because getting drunk makes you do immoral things. It makes you lose sight or reality of time. I remember years ago, they were doing some kind of a study on being drunk, and they had, let's just say they had a person that was doing some kind of a task like bouncing balls or whatever, right? And they initially it was cool, and then they had one drink, and the more little drinks that they took, the least they were able to finish the task. It impairs you, right? So that's the spirit of what Paul was saying. So again, drinking is not a sin, but it can lead to drunkenness. Now, I've never been drunk before. I could tell you on one and a half hands over the years of my life the times that I have. And I love to cook, and I cook from time to time cook with wine. And I don't, listen, any real chef doesn't use cooking wine. They use the real stuff. So, okay? So just, you know, the reason I say that is people People don't drink alcohol as much for how it tastes, but for how it makes them feel. Okay. And so the question that I would have, is why do you need to feel that way? Okay. Why do you need to feel that way? So, and that's what I think Paul was saying. Listen, you don't need to be drunk with wine. What you need is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because it is the Spirit of God that is going to be able to deal with anything that you're facing in your life. Anything else that you try to do to ease the pain or to cover the pain or is simply a band-aid. The Holy Spirit is going to heal you. And it's interesting how we categorize things, okay? But falling short of the glory of God, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Someone who drinks too much alcohol to the place of drunkenness has not sinned any more than someone who overeats. Gluttony. So it's important that we all understand that sin is sin, and that God gives us grace. God gives us loving kindness and long suffering, and He teaches us. He gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us, and He says, okay, no, that wasn't good. That wasn't right. You know it wasn't right. Okay? All right. So what's God's heart? First, I want to sort of talk, the Word of God talks about priests or church leaders, pastors. And I want to just bring that out, and then we'll bring it to the church at large, and then we'll just kind of open it up. But Leviticus 10, start in the Old Testament. Leviticus 10, verse 8 and 9. Says, the Lord then spoke to Aaron. Now, Aaron was the priest. The Lord then spoke to Aaron, saying, do not drink wine or strong drink, neither you nor your sons with you, when you come into the tent of meeting, so that you will not die. It is a perpetual statute throughout your generation. So that was what God expected from his priest. Isaiah 28. Look at Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah 28, verse 7 through... verse 7 through 13. This is the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 28, verse 7. And those also reel with wine and stagger from strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are confused by wine. They stagger from strong drink. They reel while having visions. They totter when rendering judgment. For all the tables are full of filthy vomit without a single clean place. To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just taken from the breast? For he says, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there. Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue. It's talking about those who are priests, church leaders, pastors. All right? Turn to Proverbs 31. Get your questions ready. Proverbs 31, 4 through 7. Proverbs 31, 4 through 7. Words of Lemuel. Verse 4. Proverbs 31, verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. So basically, it's saying that leaders and priests, those who have been given the ministry of teaching and preaching the word of God, really should stay away from it. Titus 1 and 7 says, "For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not quarrelsome, not fond of sordid gain." Notice that it says addicted, not drunk, just addicted. Okay? Let me read for you 1 Timothy. First Timothy 3. I know this is one verse Bible study, but it's based on one verse, but we're getting a lot of word tonight. 1 Timothy, the third chapter, verse 2 and 3. "An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine." Once again. Verse 8. "Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain." Sort of a theme for those in church leadership, that you shouldn't be one because it impairs your judgment and you forget what you decree, or you can't be sharp in your and what God has called you to do. All right. So that's sort of church leaders. All right, what does the Bible say just about the Christians at large, the body of Christ? Just a few. I'll read this one and then see if anybody has any questions, comments. Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. Back to Proverbs. 23rd chapter. And I think I got one more story I'll tell you. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Proverbs 23, verse 29. "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things, and you will be like one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink." Years ago, we were visiting somewhere, and I actually don't remember, where. And it was a pastor, and he offered me some, I don't know what it was. It was something red, and. It was red Kool-Aid. And it was very good. And I took a couple of drinks of it. And this is what happened. That entire night, just from those couple of sips, that entire night, I wanted to go back and get some more because it tasted so good. That's what I was telling. Ooh, that tasted really good. But I believe it was the Holy Spirit that said to me, no, it's just the start. So I didn't. Everyone has to decide when it's too much. Well, the Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin. So it can start off as just a weight, but then it can go off into a sin. Okay? Hosea 4:11 says, harlotry, wine, and new wine take away the understanding. Take away the understanding. Here's one. Titus 2:3 says, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. All you older women, all you presence cruisers, ooh. Mama Essie, you watching? Romans 14:21 says, it is not good to eat meat. And this is, you've got to kind of get into more the study of that. Or to drink wine, or to do anything which would make your brother stumble. All right. So I started off by saying that the way I grew up, you didn't touch it. You didn't. All right. But again, each person must be submitted to God and listen to the Holy Spirit and understand the dangers and understand that if you allow any, like anything, if you, what Paul says, you know, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought into the power, right? And so, and that really goes with anything. I mean, anything that you take into your body that is in excess ultimately will not be good for you. Okay? All right. Any questions? Comments? I said a whole lot. Okay, good. Yes, don't. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Anybody else? Comments? Crickets? Hold on. Let me just. Number two. Testing. Number two. Here we go. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so my first question was, what was the purpose of Paul writing this letter to the Ephesian church? Is it because he was getting feedback that these types of things was going on in the church?
Good question. My assumption is yes, because he would. I don't know if it was Timothy who was over that particular church, but yeah, he would get reports. If you read the epistles, he would get reports, and that would be the reason that he would write the letters, because he would write the letters to deal with whatever issues were in the church. You're like false prophets. Don't listen to them, you know, kind of a thing. All right? So apparently, well, they were, there were some, and look, the Ephesian church is not different than any other church, even today. Every church has its issues. We all have things that we, you know, I said this last week when we were talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. We all have thorns. Some of them are huge, you know, trees. But we all have things. And so this is why I think it's so important that, and hear me when I say, no one's sin is worse than anybody else's. Lying is a sin. Gossiping is a sin. Getting drunk is a sin. And God forgives. You have an advocate with the Father. God forgives you when you fall short. Okay? And so you have to know where you have to allow the Holy Spirit. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit, because there are things in all of our lives where the Holy Spirit is trying to get our attention and say, okay, that's too far. That's too far. He's trying to teach us. Okay? And this is until, you know, as long as you have that desire to please God. As long as you have the desire to please God. That David had a desire to please God. He didn't always do the right thing, but he had a desire to please God. And even God said he was a man after his own heart. So when you have a desire to please God, ultimately you're going to make your way to the will of God. And his grace and his mercy is going to keep you. The important thing is to have a desire. Right? All right. Who else? Questions? Comments? Come on. Very good. It would take me a moment to find where it is, but is it just me? But I've had this Bible so there it is. I found it. I'll be thinking of a verse and I'll know what side of the page it's on, and I just found it. First John 1. I'll read verse 15 and 16. Wow, this is awesome. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Here's verse 16. For all that is in the world, that goes to what you're saying, shall see. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. So really, any place that we fall short in is in those three categories. Okay? That's where we battle. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. Good stuff. Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. It's true. That's true. If we yield, the Holy Spirit is our helper Well, he's going to be like, you know, I say this all the time, you know, parenting, it is instinctive, I believe, to how many times how God treats us. And I, you know, I can tell my child, one of my children, don't do something, and they will do it. And at a certain point, I'll just step back because I tried to help them. Now, I'm not going to let them get injured bad, but I'm just saying sometimes God will step back and let you falter, do your thing until even like the prodigal son, you know, let you get on out there, eat with the pigs and all that. And he, because he knows all things, he knows at some point you're going to get your mind back. So, yes, the Holy Spirit is our helper. If he'll help you if you want to be helped. It's like that line from McGuire. What's that? Jerry Maguire. And Tom Cruise was saying to Cuba Gooding Jr., who was, you know, he's like, help me to help you. That's what Holy Spirit is saying. Help me. I'm trying to help you. You've got to listen to me. Right? But yes, the Holy Spirit is our helper. Anybody else? Huh? Gary's at home. He's not feeling well. He's a little under there. He told me that. And I was, okay, go ahead. What's the question? What Paul was saying, good question, Gary, praying for you. What Paul was trying to say is that when you are, It has to do with being under the influence. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be under the influence of alcohol, but instead be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the correlation. Because listen, hello, you can't do both at the same time. Either you're going to be under the influence of spirits, or you're going to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying. And apparently, to Kevin's question, apparently people at the church of Ephesus were being under the influence of spirits. Okay? So that's what Paul was saying. Look, what are y'all doing? Don't be under the influence of that. Be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the Good question, Gary. All right. Anybody else? Comments, questions? Everybody's going to go home and have some Kool-Aid. All right. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this this time of teaching. And we desire to learn more about you. We desire to learn more about your heart, more about your word, and sometimes, you know, we just have to kind of have these kinds of discussions because it's in your word, and we want to be aware, fully aware of potential pitfalls and things in our lives that could cause harm to us and even to others. And so, God, I pray for anyone who is battling in this area, whether they're in here or watching, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them. I pray that the Holy Spirit would be their portion and be their guide and be their helper. And I pray that in those moments when they might go too far, that they would yield to you and that you would be able to help them and that they would be submitted to you and filled with you. And so, God, fill us again with your Spirit. Fill us again right now with your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Holy Spirit, come upon us now. And we pray that you would take out anything that's not like you. Whatever it is, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, whatever it is, we pray, Lord, that you would take full control and help us, God, to yield to you and to you only. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, lift those hands toward heaven. I give you the blessing found in Deuteronomy 1 and 11. May the Lord, the God of your fathers, increase you 1,000-fold more than you are and bless you just as he has promised you. God bless you. Believing God together, believing together, heart and soul.